Today we're moving toward chapter 5. In fact, we're into chapter 5. And the theme of the book of Daniel is the sovereignty of God. And chapter 5 is God's sovereignty in action. We're going to see God moving powerfully, wonderfully here in Daniel chapter 5. And before we get into that, let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for appointing us to be here, for giving us an opportunity to open your word together, to declare it, to receive it, and for us to give you the glory that's due your holy name. Speak to us through this text, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Since the theme is the sovereignty of God, I wanted to read a quote from Spurgeon on this passage. There is no attribute of God more comforting to his children than the doctrine of divine sovereignty. Under the most adverse circumstances, in the most severe troubles, they believe that sovereignty has ordained their afflictions, that sovereignty overrules them, and sovereignty will sanctify them all. There is nothing for which the children of God ought most earnestly to contend than the dominion of their master over all creation. The kingship of God over all the works of his own hands, the throne of God, and his right to sit upon that throne. So it's interesting that he uses the word contend. Why should we have to contend for the doctrine of God's sovereignty? Well, because the world certainly rejects it, and most of Christendom today does not believe in the absolute sovereignty of God. So we need to contend for that faith. Now we're in Daniel 5. Let me read the first few verses here. Belshazzar the king made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in the presence of 1,000. While he tasted the wine, Belshazzar gave the command to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple which had been in Jerusalem, that the king and his lords, his wives and his mistresses might drink from them. Then they brought the gold vessels that had been taken from the temple of the house of God, which has been in Jerusalem, and the king and his lords, his wives, his mistresses, drank from them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze and iron, wood and stone. So here, to get into it, let's consider the background. So you have a new king here. The first king was Nebuchadnezzar, and God dealt with him. Belshazzar now is the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, so several years have passed. And Daniel is now 88 years old, and we're at the year 540 B.C. And Belshazzar is equally as proud and rebellious as was Nebuchadnezzar. So here is the occasion. Belshazzar the king made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords. Out of his pride and out of his desire for attention, he has the party really for himself. And this party is exquisite, greater than any presidential ball, probably greater than any party or feast in the history of the world is here. And so he invites 1,000 of his lords, the wives and his mistresses, to the palace. And the palace in Babylon is beyond description. The hall where the feast was held was a mile long. How would you like to have been a busboy at that party? They had musicians, 12,000 trumpets, 32,000 musicians. They had trained peacocks, which would pull miniature chariots of hors d'oeuvres to the tables. They had pillars in the form of elephants holding up the roof. And of course, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon are one of the seven wonders of the world, when there were seven wonders. And so here is this magnificent outlay, the palace. The people are there, and they're drinking wine. Now in verse 4, we have in verse 2, Belshazzar gave the command to bring the gold and silver vessels. In verses 3 and 4, they're using them. Now, what's the problem with that? This is sheer blasphemy. This is a direct insult to the Lord God, because the temple was the place where he dwelt, and the Ark of the Covenant was there. And they used certain vessels, cups and spoons and so on, for the worship. And these were sacred. They were set apart only for sacred use. And now Belshazzar is going to use them out of the temple for his own purpose, to use them for his party, to drink wine from them. It is blasphemy. It is arrogance. And in addition to that, there's the worship of God. And they drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze and iron, wood and stone. So here is the pride and the blasphemy of this man. These are sanctified vessels. But you know, that's who we are. We are people called out for a sacred purpose, to be used only for a sacred purpose. And so here is the blasphemy. Now in verse 5, we have God coming to the party. Now this is interesting. What would God do at a party like this? Well, he's going to reveal his power. Verse 5. In the same hour, the fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his hips were loosened, and his knees knocked against each other. Now the King James Version says that his knees smote one against the other. I love that. Here is a very descriptive picture of this king. His countenance changed, and he's troubled. And here is fear, because he doesn't know what's happening. But what this is divine action with God's warning sign. And he saw the writing, and he's full of fear. And he calls for his wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers, and he said to them, interpret this writing. Verse 8, now all the king's wise men came, but they could not read the writing or make known to the king its interpretation. Now the queen comes on the scene, and she reminds the king that there is a man in the province who is able to interpret. And so the king calls for Daniel. Daniel tells him everything that this is about. And Daniel becomes very direct in verse 22. But you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, although you knew what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. You have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessel of his house before you. You and your lords, your wives, your mistresses have drunk wine from them. You have praised the gods of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone, which you do not see or hear. And the gods who holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways, you have not glorified. Then the fingers of a hand were sent from him, and this was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of each word. Mene, God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Peres, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then Belshazzar honored Daniel. But just think of Daniel's interpretation to come and say, King Belshazzar, it's over. You're finished. You have no more kingdom. And God's judgment is upon you. It's all over. Now then, we have God's sovereignty revealed in verse 29. Then verse 30. That very night, Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans or the Babylonians, was slain. And Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. In that night, Belshazzar was slain. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Belshazzar, you think this is your night. You're going to be the center of attention and throw this great feast. God's going to step in judgment. In that very night, Belshazzar was slain. And Darius, a general of the army of the Medo-Persians, comes into Babylon and takes over. And the Babylonian Empire is ended, and we now have the era of the Medo-Persian Empire. Now, this is the very thing that Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar would happen. There will be four empires, the Babylonian, the Medo-Persian, the Grecian, and the Roman. And it is now God's timing to change the empire from Babylon to the Medo-Persian. And so we understand that God has a plan for history, and that he's orchestrating all that has happened from Genesis 1 all through the years of history. God has raised up kings and put them down. God has raised up empires and put them down. God has raised up kingdoms and put them down. And since the Roman Empire, which fell, and we have a British Empire, and then comes the United States of America, which is not an empire, but which has become the most powerful nation in the world, the richest, and with more military might until recently in all the world. God's plan for history. And this morning we need to understand God's history and plan for the U.S. which is sort of in a dilemma now because of this presidential election. And we don't know what will happen. But whatever happens, we who believe in the sovereignty of God can rest that with Him. And even if our choice is defeated, we're still not at the mercy of men, but at the mercy of God Almighty. Now think of the poor people in our country who don't believe that, who rest everything in human hands, and how restless they must be, and how comforting it is for us to know that God's plan prevails, and that we can trust Him for that, and life is going to go on. Now, thirdly, then, God has a plan for us individually. And things come in our life, a change occurs, and we go through stages of life, and we have many changes, and we need to learn how to adjust and how to accept God's providence and place ourselves at His mercy, and stay under that umbrella of God's sovereignty. What a wonderful concept that is, that we do not believe that human will prevail, but God's will prevail. And so we learn from Daniel chapter 5 to worship Him and honor Him who holds our breath in His hand and owns all our ways, and to glorify Him in our life, and not to be taken over by pride and blasphemous behavior, but to worship Him. What a great book is the book of Daniel, to see how powerful God is throughout history, and over the proudest kings that ever lived, God turns them. Proverbs says, God turns the heart of the king just as a river makes its way. And so we're thankful for that. Whoever becomes president of the United States, God will prevail. And we pray that God will protect His people. Whatever tribulation or persecution may come, He is our God, He is our sovereign God, and we believe and trust in Him. Also in our day, we need to learn to contend for the sovereignty of God, because people who do not believe that cannot possibly, in no way can they give Him the glory He deserves. When a person believes that human free will is in control of salvation, or is in control of history, there is no way that God gets the glory. This morning, give Him the glory for your salvation. Give Him the glory for the providence in your life, and worship and trust Him. And thus we'll join the church in heaven this morning. You know what they're doing? They're saying, worthy is the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Honor and glory, power and blessing be unto Him. And we in our hearts join them this morning to say He is worthy of our praise. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank You for including the book of Daniel in Holy Scripture and for giving us the details of Your working through the empires of Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. And thank You for revealing Your sovereignty and how we see it in action here. Just in one little verse, in that night Belshazzar was slain, and a new kingdom arises by Your power and glory. Thank You that You have taught us this truth, and we bow this morning to worship You, the God of Daniel and the God of empires. In Jesus' name, amen.